All right, we're going to get started. For important disclosures, please see the Morgan Stanley Research Disclosure website at morganstanley.com/researchdisclosures. If you have any questions, please reach out to your Morgan Stanley sales representative. And I'm really excited to welcome back to the conference Lachlan Murdoch, Executive Chairman and CEO of Fox Corporation. Lachlan, thank you for coming back.
Thank you very much, Ben. Thanks for having me back. Can I take a quick opportunity to congratulate you on two things? One, for building such a great conference, because I know you put your heart and soul into this, and it's been amazing. Every year, all of us have come. But also congratulate you on your new role.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
And is it true that you're going to be interviewing your boss later in the conference?
It is true. Future boss.
So I one word of advice, you should go hard. You have a couple of couple tough questions.
That's a good idea. I will take that back under consideration.
All right, I'll be watching.
I think I'm blushing on the phone. I appreciate that. All right, well, back to you. I'm asking the questions here one last time. So look, let's talk about Fox and sort of the strategic priorities and the long-term vision for the company. Stock's had a very nice couple of years. I know the last few months have been choppy, but I wanted to ask you about kind of the strategic priorities for the company and where you're most excited in terms of long-term growth for Fox.
Yep, great. Well, first of all, last few months have been tremendous. The stock's had a choppy period, as a lot of stocks have, but the business is firing on all cylinders. I think we've had, you know, across different sort of verticals and sports and in news, on Tubi, you know, we've had record revenue and record profitability in many of those businesses, if not all. So the business is really firing, and we're incredibly happy with the position that we're in. In terms of strategic priorities, if we say like two or three strategic priorities over the next couple of years, you know, for us, well, you know, first of all, as of today or as of this weekend, obviously the news cycle is incredibly important and is obviously resonating with a lot of people. When there's major news stories, news organizations really have to stand up, and that's not always easy. It's something that actually requires a tremendous amount of skill and investment and effort over many years to be able to cover major news stories, particularly international news stories, as well as we can. So our continuing to do that is very important to us. I just saw a note this morning, actually, before I came on stage, that Fox News on Saturday had its highest rating Saturday in over 23 years.
Wow.
And so, you know, that effort that you put in, that investment you put into news and news gathering is important and does resonate with all audiences. Other priorities for us are definitely our move into digital platforms, whether that's a direct-to-consumer with Fox One, which is an aggregator of all of our content. Direct-to-consumer is very, you know, very important and very key to us. I'm sure we'll talk about that later on over the next few minutes. And Tubi. You know, Tubi was a contrarian acquisition. A lot of people thought we were crazy buying an advertising video on demand business. People at the time asked me, and after, well, how many subscribers do you have on Tubi? I said, well, it's not about subscribers. It's about our advertising and our advertising revenue. And that business continues to grow and continues to drive and improve, you know, further profitability. So I'd say those sitting here this morning are three priorities over the next little while.
So Fox has benefited quite a bit, Lachlan, from a focused portfolio. You guys talk about sports and news. That's been sort of the message since you became a company in 2019. What adjacencies are you and the team kind of most excited to expand into? And are there areas that you are determined, you know, not to go into, given some of the economics out there that you see?
Sure. Yes. So let me answer that in the question in reverse. First of all, what we're not going to do, you know, you won't see us investing substantially in businesses that are reliant on the traditional cable subscription ecosystem. You'll see us instead invest in businesses, you know, that further our reach in news and sports, further the engagement with our consumers and our viewers that are interested in live news and live sports. And we've already done that, you know, to date. We've our digital business. What a lot of people don't realize is that Fox News, the linear channel, what they think about, and Fox Business and Fox Weather, the linear channels, but our digital business, Fox News Digital, is the number one digital news site in America. And it's the number one digital news on social media across all of America. And we're pushing further and further into that, not from a just a, from a platform and distribution point of view, but from a from an organic content point of view in those on those sort of social and digital platforms. To that extent, or to that end, you know, we also bought a business called Red Seed Ventures, which is a podcasting business over a year ago now. Red Seed Ventures has done, you know, tremendously well for us, puts us in this creator economy with podcasters. I think we did over or just under 3 billion YouTube views in 2025, and its audio downloads are up 97% year on year. So those new businesses for us, making sure that our content is in front of our consumers wherever they are and however they want to engage with us is incredibly important. And we're making, you know, very positive steps towards that end.
When I think about Fox, and even going back to 21st Century Fox, and going back to News Corp, you guys have always been investing and harvesting cash flow to some degree kind of simultaneously. I think some of the areas right now would include Fox One, Tubi, some other net investments. But how are you thinking about balancing sort of free cash flow maximization with investing in sort of your core growth strategies?
Sure. Well, look, we're blessed. You know, it's not all luck. It's by design and work that we have a tremendous balance sheet. And so, how we then utilize that balance sheet? You know, obviously, we look at a tool set we have. You know, there has been, you know, modest sort of M&A activity. You'll probably see more of that. We don't have anything at hand right now to announce, but we'd like to do more M&A at a more sort of substantial level. We're continuing to do our buybacks. We had, up to a $12 billion buyback capacity over a period. I think we've done about $8.6 billion. So we have, you know, over close to $2.5 billion worth of buyback authority to go. We announced a $1.5 billion accelerated share repurchase. And we've effectively come close to completing that, and now we're back in the market buying shares on the open market as well. You know, if you look at, you know, M&A, you look at returning value to shareholders, return capital to shareholders, whether it's through buybacks or through dividends. I think since the spin, we've returned $10 billion of capital to shareholders, and that's the, you know, a path I think we're going to continue.
Okay, great. As you can imagine, there's been a lot of investor focus on the Warner Brothers discovery process, which appears to maybe be coming to a conclusion, at least with an announced agreement with Paramount and WBD. What's the discussion inside Fox, you know, around scale? It's obviously a big topic. And any other implications that this particular combination, if it closes, you know, might have on your company?
Sure. So there's two parts of that question. First is a broader question on scale, and then how does Warner Brothers acquisition, presumably by Paramount, affect us, and how do we think about it? From the broader question on scale, we don't, for us, I'm not saying this is necessarily true for everyone, but we don't believe in scale for scale's sake, right? We don't think you just need to get bigger to be better. In fact, we've seen a number of occasions, and we've executed deals on a number of occasions where smaller scale has worked better for us, right? Whether it was the sale of our entertainment assets to Disney, which gave us a focused live news, live sports, highly engaged, concentrated brands strategy, which has proven incredibly successful the last 6 years. Or before that, when we spun out and split the company between a newspaper company and News Corp and Fox. That transaction also worked for both entities incredibly well, allowing them to focus. So our history and our education of this, but by doing it, has proven that scale is not necessarily good for scale's sake. Sometimes, in fact, the opposite. But where we will make acquisitions and where we will grow are in areas that are strategic, right? That again, we'll extend our engagement with our audience, extend our reach within our core sort of verticals, and we'll continue to do that. As far as the Warner Brothers being acquired by presumably Paramount, we wish them the best of luck, and we've seen this as regardless whether it was Netflix acquiring Warner Brothers Discovery or Paramount acquiring Warner Brothers Discovery, there will be conditions put on this transaction, we would expect, which would require a producer of that size to continue to sell their content to third-party platforms. And we think that's very important, and we would expect that to be a condition put upon any transaction.
Any comment on how CNN may or may not change vis-a-vis its competitive position with Fox News? I know you guys have obviously been winning in news ratings for a long time.
We have been winning, and we win amongst sort of strong competition. And so whether under the Elsons, I think CNN obviously will be a strong competitor as we'd expect. But we like competition, and we've proven over many years now that we can running news is hard. I think we have something at Fox News alone, Fox News has been going over 30 years, and that's something like 100 of the staff at Fox News have been there the whole time. They're deeply engaged, they're deeply kind of committed to the business, have tremendous skills, and it shows up in the ratings.
Right. The other big topic that I'm hearing from folks on Fox has been around sports rights, and in particular the NFL. You and I were chatting, and the NBA had a really successful renewal a year or two ago. And there's some concern in the market that the NFL may look to negotiate or renegotiate their deals with Fox and the other broadcasters early, maybe even this year, and that could pressure your earnings outlook. What's your answer to that concern? How do you approach and describe your relationship with the NFL and your overall sports portfolio?
Sure. So, first of all, our relationship with the NFL is very strong. We've had a great relationship with the NFL for over 30 years. And for over 30 years, that relationship has been mutually beneficial to both Fox and to the NFL. And so we'd certainly look to continuing that mutually beneficial relationship going forward. That said, we have not had any material conversations with the NFL about a renewal yet. But that said, we have four more years on our contract before any kind of presumed opt-out would take effect. So we feel comfortable with where we are. We think we're paying, a market price for the NFL today. The prices were renegotiated only 3 years ago. They went up, I think, over 100% 3 years ago. So we think our current pricing is at market. But to the extent that there was any incremental cost for that NFL programming, I think the key thing for people to realize, that incremental cost would flow through to local affiliates, to our distributors, and ultimately to consumers and to fans.
Okay. That's actually a good segue. I wanted to shift gears over to distribution and talk a little bit about both the traditional business and Fox One. So on their last earnings call, Lachlan, you highlighted subscriber declines, and now we're talking about the kind of traditional U.S. bundle, improving to, just over 6% year on year. I know that's still a healthy decline, but that's a decent improvement from a couple of years ago. What do you think is driving that, and, how sustainable is it that you might see a continued moderation of sub losses in your mind?
Yeah, so we've seen now, multiple consecutive quarters of improving sub declines. Sounds like a funny sentence. Improving sub declines, but the lessening of subscriber erosion in the traditional pay TV subscribers ecosystem, and so that's very positive. And as you said, I think you said just over 6%. I might say just under 6.5%, but you can kind of pick the middle ground there. And it's a that excludes, by the way, the subscribers that we have for Fox One, our direct-to-consumer service, which is treated internally. They are pay TV digital subscribers. So we've excluded that number, which would improve that 6.5%. But we've excluded that because it's such early days and we don't know about the seasonality within those subs, so we didn't want to confuse the number with these additional subscribers. It's too early to say whether this improvement in subscriber declines is from skinny bundles or skinny bundles alone. Skinny bundles, what I mean is people who are just platform providers, distributors are now offering, you know, sports bundles or entertainment bundles or sort of news bundles. It's too early to say whether it's from that alone, or it's, you know, we're finding some kind of more resistance to churn or to subscriber erosion as we get to a more core cable user. It could probably be a combination of both.
Got it. Okay. While you guys have been absorbing those declines, you've been able to grow your distribution revenues. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's a function primarily of pricing. Look, the industry is constantly changing. There's a lot of big shifts that are structural, but what's Fox's confidence in your ability to continue to drive pricing power as you go through continued renewals, which I think you have some coming up soon?
Yep. No, I have strong confidence that we'll continue to drive subscription pricing. It's part of the benefit of having this sort of core set of channels that are highly watched, the highly sort of respected and valued brands. If you have this actually goes to your scale question in the beginning. If you have a lot of scale and you buy a lot of channels, but they're channels that no one wants to watch, you spend all your leverage in your distribution negotiations trying to protect the weaker channels, right? And so you lose leverage in being able to drive pricing. Because we're so focused, we've really been able to drive pricing and really share of wallet for the cable subscriber over our competitors. And we have great confidence we'll be able to continue to do that. I think in this last quarter we grew pricing by about 4%.
Yeah. That's great. There's, as you mentioned, skinny bundles are a big factor in the market. They're probably helping potentially the subscriber erosion trends. But there has been some question as to whether Fox might feel some negative impact for some new skinny bundles coming, particularly from YouTube, which is, you know, rapidly growing to be, you know, one of the largest MVPDs out there. Can you talk a little bit about how your networks, particularly Fox News, does or does not get impacted by, for example, a sports bundle that YouTube has been publicly talking about?
Sure. So we're not impacted is the short answer. Yeah. I don't want to get into the specifics of different distribution contracts, which are confidential. But we sell to all of our distributors. We sell as a bundle, right? We sell a bundle of our channels. The highly valuable channels, and we're big believers in the cable bundle, like in the core cable bundle, as being the most efficient and valuable to consumers. Having said that, we allow distributors to go to market in a flexible way, right? Within reason, it has to be an appropriately flexible way, and so. So YouTube or others can sell a sports bundle. You have to remember, a sports bundle includes the local TV stations because they're the ones that kind of ultimately hold those rights. So it's a sports bundle or a news bundle or an entertainment bundle. You can go to market in an efficient way, in an appropriate way, dividing that content up, but we get paid as if it's one bundle.
Mm, okay, that's helpful. Mm-hmm. Fox One was launched, I think, in August of last year, August-September time frame. You have said it's exceeding expectations. We don't know exactly what those expectations were, but it sounds like it's off to a good start. With a little bit of learnings now and in the market, how are you feeling about the long-term opportunity and sort of the strategy around sort of investing behind this direct-to-consumer offering?
Yep. So we launched Fox One, right, I think it was last August, before the college football season and obviously the professional football season. It has exceeded all of our expectations, both from a subscriber perspective, subscriber growth perspective, well ahead of its plan, and also just from a because of that, it flows into an investment perspective. It's ahead of our expectations financially as well. What have we learned from that? I think we are we've built a tremendous team. They're obviously of sort of technologists and you know, experts streaming, but bundling is very important with a lot of these products. Our sales through Amazon, for example, have been incredibly successful. And then what we're seeing from a user perspective, really the news viewer is particularly valuable, right? Our news viewers in the Fox, in watching Fox One, watch like 3.5 days per week, which is a tremendous amount. I'd challenge sort of most streaming services to have that high sort of loyalty during the week, 3.5 days a week. They watch over 10 hours of programming per week, over 10 hours, and it's over 6 shows. That incorporates over 6 shows per week. So we're really seeing that news viewer being incredibly valuable to the Fox One platform.
Great. I'm sure Fox One is part of your discussions with your distribution partners. Can you talk about a little bit, you know, how it may have either positively or negatively impacted those discussions, particularly as you go into these renewals coming up with Fox One in the portfolio?
I think from our perspective, Fox has been the most pro cable, pro pay television bundle of any content. Content company. And for Fox One, we have been extremely focused on not creating churn. We don't want any churn from a traditional cable subscriber from one of our distribution partners onto Fox One. And it actually doesn't make financial sense to us. And so because of that, what you've seen, you've seen no promotion of Fox One in linear news, linear Fox News, or linear Fox Sports, none at all, and we believe because of that we haven't churned, or if it's a very small percentage, the people who might have churned from traditional cable into Fox One, and that's very important, and that means we haven't put exclusive content, we're not promoting it in a way that will create churn, and that's incredibly important. But in addition to that, what we've offered all of our distributors is that if you're a cable subscriber on any of our distribution or a YouTube subscriber, you can get Fox One as part of your subscription. So we offer Fox One free to any of the of our distribution partners, which I think helps them as well.
Okay. Let's shift over to the other major revenue stream at the company, mm-hmm. which is advertising. Mm-hmm. It's been quite strong for Fox. Let's start with Fox News. I think you've added, you know, a lot of new advertisers over the last kind of year and a half. Scatter pricing is strong. Any update and sort of what do you think about the durability of that growth as we look into the rest of 26?
Advertising's been incredibly strong. I think advertisers have recognized that the Fox News now, because of Fox News's reach and audience, we're competing against the broadcast networks. You know, we're not competing against CNN or MSNBC or someone else for a news audience. Our audience is just too large. The reach is too great. So we're really competing with the broadcast networks. But we're competing against them with an unfair advantage, an advantage I'd prefer not to have, but that our CPMs are much lower. So for an advertiser who wants to get their national reach, you know, across demographics, across all political spectrum, you know, we have more Democrats, we have more independents watching Fox News than our competitors. If you want that, you can get it at almost half the cost you can get it for on a broadcast network. So we're seeing advertisers really flow to us. I think it was over 200 new advertisers. So that's very positive. Of course, that only works if you have great ratings, and the ratings, you know, continue to be strong. I mentioned this past Saturday, even before the news of this weekend in the Middle East, I think State of the Union address last week, we had about 70%. I think we had 9 million people watch our State of the Union broadcast, which is the biggest ever. 11 million if you include the shoulder programming, which is about 70% of the cable news audience. So, you know, the ratings are incredibly strong. That flows to advertising, and advertisers are really awake to that.
I know the, you know, political advertising is a little bit down the road this year, but we have seen a lot of money shift, you know, from linear, from broadcast to streaming or CTV. You guys play in both areas. What's your perspective on how quickly that money is migrating, you know, away from broadcast stations or linear in general to businesses on the CTV side, like Tubi, for example?
Yep. So first of all, there's a couple of broad terms in there. So revenue is immigrating from linear to CTV, but it's flowing from linear entertainment, right? So broadcast and cable entertainment programming is moving from there into CTV, mm-hmm. right? So sports and news linear is incredibly strong, yes. right? Record revenues. CTV is also a broad term. Sure, it incorporates a lot of different products and platforms, and it also incorporates fast channels, right? So fast linear-like stream channels, right? What we have in Tubi, which is the beneficiary of this massive flow coming into CTV, we're AVOD, we're video on demand, advertising supported video on demand. And that means that I think 95% of our viewing mm-hmm. is someone choosing proactively in that moment to watch that show and to engage with that advertising, right? And watch those ads. So it creates an incredibly valuable proposition to advertisers to have that engagement. So we are really the beneficiary of this flow from entertainment into CTV, but particularly into AVOD mm-hmm. CTV, which we're the leader in.
And any view on how political money may or may not follow that?
It came the last election cycle. This year, we've already seen this fiscal year, we have seen record political revenues in a period where there's usually none,
yeah.
Which we think bodes very well to the next fiscal year in November. We think is going to be tremendous political advertising, which will impact for the first time. Like we saw it the first time in the last political cycle. We saw political advertising on Tubi because they're going to be incredibly targeted. Mm-hmm. They're young, they're diverse. They're 70% of them are cord cutters. They're very hard to reach. So Tubi got significant political advertising dollars in the last cycle. Fox News got some national political advertising dollars, which is unusual. And of course, for our local stations, it'll benefit them tremendously.
Sure. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Tubi. Mm-hmm. I know we touched on it a couple of times. I think last quarter, 27% growth in view time, revenue growth 19%, mm-hmm. and you're EBITDA positive now, at least over yep. the last couple of quarters. So what are the big drivers of that business in terms of really making that a meaningful contributor to the company's EBITDA long term?
Look, you mentioned in your question, TBT, total viewing time, is what stands for growth of 27%. That's critical, right? Yeah. Growing that total viewing time. It's also a key indicator is the service working, right? Do consumers like it? And every quarter, frankly, every month, we're seeing that grow, grow more and more. So the service is working. People like it, and then obviously that brings the advertisers. So as long as we can continue to grow TBT, I'd like us to be able to. It's a competitive market. To your last question, in this connected television advertising market, so there is pressure on rates. I'd like our rates to be stronger. But having said that, we're garnering kind of lion's share of that AVOD advertising sort of dollar. So we're very confident we can continue to grow. It's also because we have the largest library. We have incredible technology. We're moving more and more into increase the funnel of people that come to watch us. We've created this like Creatorverse where we're doing like Mr. Beast and other sort of podcasters and people who are now on Tubi with exclusive content,
yeah.
Which is fantastic. About 10% of our viewers will come in and they'll watch some of this creator-generated content, and then they'll stay to watch Hollywood-produced television shows or movies. So the flywheel is working really very well.
You mentioned a couple of them, but your engagement growth is better than a lot of the competitive set we're looking mm-hmm. at, and it seems like the revenue growth also is. Is there anything else you'd add in terms of either the ad tech or the content strategy that you think is a real kind of differentiator of Tubi? And what is, a really crowded streaming market for consumers?
Yep. Well, we're the only advertising-only streaming service, right? AVOD service, right? We don't We don't have tiers. You can't get out of opt out of ads if you pay. You know, our proposition to the consumer is very clear, very strong. It's free.
Right.
And it's a great proposition. It's simple. People understand it. We don't bombard you with trying to upsell you or move you into sort of different tiers. So that's very strong. You have to remember that Tubi then, so we've been very focused on advertising and obviously the advertising tech that supports that. Tubi started as an ad tech company, right? They built the ad tech and then they realized they could license the content to feed it.
Yeah.
And so the culture there has been incredibly positive, and the continued investment in the ad tech has been very strong. And by the way, AI and what we're doing with AI, driving that ad tech, driving engagement with consumers, is also incredibly impressive and exciting.
Okay. Maybe in the time we have left, Lachlan, you guys have been, Fox and sort of the assets behind Fox and News Corp over the years have been very focused on sports betting in many different markets. I know you have a lot of experience with that in Australia and the UK. You've talked a lot about the value in your investment in Flutter and FanDuel. How does sports betting fit into your overall corporate strategy? And then I'd love to also hear your thoughts on the latest controversies or debates in the market around prediction markets and their impact on these businesses.
Sure. So with sports betting, and we can remind the audience that we have like 2.5% of a Flutter, the parent company. Below that, we have an 18.6% option in FanDuel, the American sort of FanDuel business. We're incredibly excited about that. We have 5 years to go for this option to exercise the option.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we are moving forward with licensing. We need to be licensed, I think, in 26 or 27 states to be able to exercise that option, which we're confident we can do. Although there's no rush, so we have 5 years to do it. So we like that business. We like sports wagering in particular, and I think FanDuel is a great partner for us. Having said that, if you look at the emergences you mentioned of the prediction markets and whether it's Kalshi or Polymarket, I saw that this morning on Fox News, I think Robinhood Prediction Markets was advertising. I know there's some other technology behind it. And so these people are tremendous advertisers. So we're seeing a surge of advertising dollars come onto, frankly, all of our platforms as there's a fight for position, right, and market share amongst these companies, and we really stand to benefit from a lot of that.
But does the prediction markets change how you view the opportunity long-term for sports betting, particularly in the U.S. as an investor in Flutter and FanDuel?
No, I think everyone, we saw this overseas, a decade ago. I think sports betting, sports wagering, or prediction markets, there have to be some guardrails, and they're ideally they are self-implemented, sort of guardrails in terms of what you can bet on, how you can bet, where you can market. Because if you don't put the guardrails around that, governments and regulators will. So I think we're not really in the industry, but I think the industry will have to work out what guardrails that they put around, how they're allowing those bets to be made and how you market them.
Got it. Okay. All right. Well, we covered a lot of ground and we're running out of time. Lachlan, thank you so much. Anything you want to wrap up with for the audience on Fox's position?
Sure. No, in summary, we've had a great quarter. In fact, we've had a great, few years. The business is firing all cylinders. We are going from strength to strength. Whether it's Fox News, Fox Sports, Tubi, Fox One. We didn't talk about entertainment. I'll be in trouble when I get back to LA. And the entertainment business is actually doing tremendously. Rob Wade and his team have done a tremendous job, driving those shows, the distribution of those shows, and profitability in that business. But the final thing I should say, just coming back to my original comment on news, news is hard, and whether it's news competitors or just how we do news every day. I was in Tel Aviv a month ago. Visiting our new, we have a big investment and a new Fox News bureau in Tel Aviv, and it was amazing over the weekend to see Trey Yingst with really incredible coverage, and that whole team that we've invested in and developed over many years just opened this new news bureau for him, and to see him broadcasting from that bureau, you know, as these missiles were crashing into Tel Aviv. So it takes a lot of hard work. We're incredibly committed to it, and we're incredibly proud of the news coverage that we provide. We think it's an essential service.
Great. Well, Lachlan, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.